Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. I love eating as much as anything else in the world, but also it sometimes brings me conflict, shame, and all sorts of other things that are rubbish. It's complicated and I think fascinating. This is a conversation with an interesting soul, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering. Aye aye, this week I'm hoovering with the very, 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 very funny comedian and my friend, Will Duggan. And thrillingly, but also legally, we hoovered together in real life. Woohoo! First of all, thanks for listening to Hoovering. If you tell other people about the podcast, I love you for it. One way to do that is to give it a 5-star review or subscribe to it. That makes your life easier, doesn't it? I don't know if you can hear, this sort of introduction this week's being heckled by a cat having a massive mid-afternoon snack inches away from the microphone, but it's one of my cats that doesn't eat very often, so I'm just letting her crack on, even though perhaps it's disrupting things sound-wise for you. I don't care. I mean, it's a podcast about eating. It's not only for humans, is it? Other creatures eat as well. If you want to support the podcast financially, I'm absolutely fine with that. You can either do it with a one-off payment at Acast Supporter, or you can become a patron. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod and you'll see all the podcast-related things I swap you in exchange for your hard-earned wedge. Guest recipes, totally exclusive content, the power to make me try things, sometimes free tickets to live show or discounted ones. Okay, right, Will and I are hoovering takeaway pizzas from Southeast London's very fancy pants chain of lush pizza places called Mama Dough, and we got ours from the one in Ladywell. We had a pizza each with a burrata side, because why fucking not? We're wolfing from there specifically because that's where we last ate together pre-pandemic. We had lunch there inside, where Will made my son laugh more than I ever have or ever will, but that story is in the podcast, so I'll leave that for now. And the only warning for this one is that there's a tiny little bit of wind sound and a few clattery noises, clattering of cutleries and table scuds and stuff, but who fucking cares? Actually, it is a minuscule price to pay to be able to share a meal in the actual world with my dear silly pal. What a joy. It's got to be said, but first part of this Hoovering is going to just be you listening to Will Duggan and I eating, because it's lunchtime and I'm hungry. It's just arrived and it smells so good, but you can probably hear from the ruffling of birds and the twittering of nearby builders that this is being recorded in person.
I'm here in real life.
We're next to one another, just a couple of double jabbed comedians sitting around a metre apart from one another in a garden.
Sharing antibodies.
Sharing antibodies, probably about to eat similar microbes, and having the time of our motherfucking lives. And we're having, well, that's quite arrogant of me, I am. We're having a pizza from Mumado, because last time we hung out properly, yes, outside of work, was you came down and we went for pizza with my son. We made him laugh so much that he pissed his pants in the middle of the pizza restaurant.
You're welcome, children.
So, and it was a real moment, actually, a real sort of one for the can't wait to tell at his wedding. although, recently, I can't believe I'm starting with this, actually, we're reading the original Dogman, which is a brilliant comic book for kids.
Dogman?
Yes, like a storybook, but looks like comics.
Cool.
And a bit of that was so funny that he shat himself.
Listen, there'll always be someone that unseats the king.
Yes, it's true.
To have been the king for a little while, yeah. I'll take.
Okay,
until he's up to Dogman, well,
you've lost out.
It doesn't exist.
I'm sorry you've lost out to Dogman. So, to recreate that moment...
Throw up later.
We've got ourselves a delivery takeaway from the same pizza place, Mumado. And I think it's probably best if we just start eating and we can talk about what we're eating, because I don't think I can sit near it any longer. We both went for things they didn't have today for some reason. They must just be too popular, which is annoying. It means we've made hack choices.
No, we made classic choices.
Classic choices. You were going for a cured meat one.
Yeah.
And I'd gone for anchoa, which is like the really spicy anchovy one, and they didn't have those. But I'm never worried when that happens, because all of theirs are so fit. Your second backup, which I didn't go for in the end, which is rude, was Jono Goat, which is what I would normally get. But I've spent so many years almost always getting that one, which is like all walnuts and goat's cheese and something sweet, like sweet onions.
Yeah, caramelised onions it was, I think, yeah. Mm.
But I'm now forcing myself to branch out and get different things.
I can't do that at restaurants.
Can't
like,
you?
If I go somewhere and I know that you like something I love.
Right.
That's me forever. Because,
yeah,
you know, let's say you order a lobster ravioli, mm-hmm, and it's not as good as your, mm-hmm, escalope, where you've, right, done yourself a kipper.
That's true, it's so risky. It's really hard. I got you one. I've already forgotten what it's called. Something like smoky swine.
Smoky swine. It's like parma ham, courgette. There's definitely garlic hiding away. And I covered it in this wiri wiri chili oil.
Oh, it's so good, isn't it? Where,
yeah,
did I get that wiri wiri chili oil from? Some cunty deli spending money I just shouldn't have. Really good. And do you like... Oh, you might. Maybe yours is garlicky enough, but that garlic... I got garlic mayonnaise as well, and it's fucking lush. I got... Oh, what is it called?
Fiorentina.
Spinach and egg. Yeah, boy.
I worked at a pizzeria for 12 years.
Yes.
I must have had about 4 Fiorentinas a week,
oh,
for about a decade. And I still love them.
I knew you'd be a kindred spirit, because when we were talking about what we were going to get, like, do you have the same issue as me, where it's like, I love everything.
Yeah.
It's quite hard to choose, because I want to try everything. Apart from maybe, like, the absolute most boringest.
Even though, what's the one that you get and it's got no cheese, mm, and just like olives and capers? Boring, but when
so
done
good.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, fit. Yeah, it's like straight up spaghetti and a red sauce, isn't it? It's one,
yeah,
of those.
Good,
like, yeah, all right, fair enough. Very well. Very well done, Italy.
Well, do you know David Stanier?
No.
He's like an alternative act in the Northwest. Really funny. He used to have this bit where he talked about how good pizza was, and the punchline was, "So thank you, Italy, for pizza. Now you say thank you for gravy."
Well, I love the idea that somewhere there's an Italian who's never tried gravy.
But they do it different. They do it with like stock and sage, and it's tasty, but pisto, hot water,
yeah,
cover up some chicken, done.
Theirs sounds a bit weedy and thin.
It is weedy and thin, but it's very tasty.
Uh-huh.
I've really met your levels up there by leaning right into the microphone, going weedy and thin.
I'm into this.
Is there anything you wouldn't put on a pizza, Jess? Like out of like a... Oh no, like the way that Italians don't put pineapple on.
I don't love pineapple on a pizza. I don't love pineapple in any savoury context, but I often get a bit moody tweets and stuff about that. If you're into it, fucking good for you.
Well, that's it, isn't it? I'm so sick of that, and what do you call this roll of bread? Give a fuck, just put some cheese on it,
yeah,
and eat it. No one there's so much going on in the world that's terrible, just eat,
yeah,
it.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, what about you? Anything, any massive no-nos?
I don't like, and this is not just pizza in general, I sound like a child here, big chunks of vegetable. Like an onion. Cut it small, dice it up, I'll eat three onions worth.
Yes.
Give me a chunk of onion, I'm not interested.
I know what you mean. I'm a fuss bag about where you're going to give me a raw onion. I don't want to... Even a bit of spring onion, like... It's fine. I do think it often tastes really nice and often it adds a bit of texture, etc. And it's not like, it's not the power of it that bothers me, but it's just, I don't want that to be the only thing I'm tasting for the next 24 hours.
I'm with you. Do you ever have like a tomato onion salad?
Yeah.
They're nice.
They're lovely,
aren't
they?
But you've got balsamic, you've got basil,
I've forgotten our drinks. You have to keep listing things that they've got while I get our water.
I do like, Jess has gone, but while she's gone, I'll just fill in my top things to put on a pizza. Tomato puree, cheese, pepperoni, ham, mushrooms.
Did you actually do it?
Just listening to me like on pizza.
Just pizza toppings for the whole time.
Dead air is a crime.
Oh, he's already saving me on editing. Oh, I love this. I'm having a lovely time.
And the sun's just come out.
Oh, get in. My vegetarian partner is away in Glasgow. I didn't know if I was going to confess to this. I'm pretty sure she knows it's happening, but I'm being quite carnivorous in her absence.
So well, you've eaten three steaks of veal since I arrived.
I saw your really funny tweet. Normally I wait till later in the podcast to ask if you'd ever eat a human, and I was going to ask it's them, but didn't you tweet at the beginning of the pandemic, when this is all over, we'd better start eating the rich?
Yeah.
Because there was some news article saying rich people have all fucked off to some expensive bunker or whatever to be safe from the pandemic. And it just you made a brilliant point, but also I noticed in the comments somebody had put, or maybe it was you, somebody had put something to do with like a toff tartare or something, and it really tickled me.
Yeah, I would. I am. The thing is, I'm a very lazy revolutionary. I always say things like, oh, if I'd lived in France during, you know, the German invasion in the Second World War, I'd definitely have joined the resistance. But I live in a time now that's begging for a resistance, and I haven't. I'm eating nice pizza with you in South London.
Yeah.
I've got zero militia in my house.
Yeah, it's true. But what my point of the carnivorous admission was that at some point can we swap a slice?
Oh, mate, please hug yourself.
Great. Likewise. Have you ever had to eat, because you've done so many different types of things, as well as stand-up, like all the... Well, you've done all sorts of bits and bobs, but have you ever had to eat anything interesting or memorable as part of work ever, outside of the sort of obligatory...
What a lovely way of saying, you're not that successful, you do a lot of other jobs.
That's not what I said!
No, but that's what I took from it.
No,
and you're right.
In my head, I was thinking things like funds and games, all the things you've been involved in. I wondered if there'd ever been any memorable eating as part of any of those.
Yes, there is. Mm. What's his name? The stand-up from Newcastle who was in Game of Thrones. He was one of the guys on the wall.
Oh, Ben.
Ben.
Oh, he's so lovely, isn't he?
Yeah, he's lovely.
I met
boy.
His family once, yeah.
He came to see Funds and Games, which is a show I did 7 years ago. And
it was like a pretend kid show. I mean, it was a kid show, but it was very full of very funny adult humour. It was like Felix Knightsey. Yeah, sorry.
It was bloody great, thanks.
Yeah.
But he won like a frutella, and he started eating it, and then he said something that I didn't agree with, so I made him spit it out, and then I ate it. But like, it was half.
This was so pre-pandemic.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It couldn't
Fuck
be more.
You now.
But like in the moment, I just ate it. I was halfway through and I was like, oh, this is really a lot juicier than I like our sweets to be when they go in.
Oh, you shared a frutella with a Game of Thrones star.
Yeah, horrible.
And, I mean, spoilers, he's not the hugest part in it, but he bloody lives all through all those series, doesn't he?
He probably pops up 3 or 4 times a series and you go, hey, I know that guy. Who shared a frutella?
I hope his life's financially transformed from that job. Definitely is recognisable-wise.
Yeah, definitely. It's like... I always think this of small parts in not to diminish what he's done, he's very good in it.
Yeah, he's not like an extra, he's a proper character.
But like the guy who tries to sell Alan Partridge the house in I'm Alan Partridge, one yank, all gone.
Yeah.
That one. He will always be the estate agent. He's done loads of stuff, but that's it, forever. He's the Partridge guy.
Yeah. Another pizza thought. Do you, when you start getting full, start leaving the crusts?
So, I normally, I'm really sorry, I normally eat a pizza with a knife and fork.
I can get you a knife?
No, because I don't need this. We've got burrata. We've got loads of pieces to share. Because I always cut the crust off first.
Oh, right.
And then use that as essentially a starter for every slice. Like a little breadstick. Dip it in some garlic mayo. Pass some chilli oil on it. And then your slice of pizza is like a Pizza Hut edge. No crust. Maximum overdrives. Top to tail.
Very nice. Top to tail butchery of the pizza. That is nose to tail, they call it, don't they? That is really nice to know. I'm proud of you.
Thank you.
I might have to copy.
Please do. It's such a awesome part. Then.
I mean, I can't be asked to get a knife out. I'm saying I'm going to copy, but when am I ever going to get a knife out?
Rip it.
What are you going to say about men?
Not about men.
I thought you said men. I thought you said there's a manly way to eat a pizza and that would be quite funny.
Yeah,
I'm sure that's how I'm doing it.
Proper good. Do you know what I mean? Like, for every slice that I have, you get about 2/3 of a slice.
yeah, right. I smashed half of mine. That's the joy of being the person asking the questions.
I went on a date years ago.
Yeah.
Like a first date. And to Rudy's Pizza in Manchester, which is just so delicious.
Oh, I've heard about this place. There were people, when the world sort of reopened in terms of filming stuff, someone was filming something, they were in a hotel in Manchester, and they were like, right, what am I going to do for dinners? And Twitter just was like,
Rudy's. But I did that, a knife and fork too. She probably looked at me like, what are you...
Oh no, you thought you're a pervert.
Yeah.
Well, she might have thought you're just really posh. It feels like quite a super posh thing to do, maybe, knife and fork. Sort of thing I imagine my nana doing.
No.
My nana would remember when we were little, when we forced her to let us have a Burger King. And we were so embarrassed because she basically sort of very slowly explained to them that she just wanted the salad items and bread. It was such a waste. They charged her for a full burger. Has a sugary bun with a bit of weedy lettuce in it. Yeah, heartbreaking, isn't it?
I went to uni with a guy, Antonio Willocks. He once went into a Subway and asked for a ham sandwich. It's like, come on, mate, play the game.
Oh,
play the game, yes. Tony.
Oh, dear. Oh, God. Get in. I'm getting to the eggy business. God, I'm really not focused on the interview, Will. Sorry.
That's all right. You've got to edit.
First one. I mean, the problem is I leave all this shit in.
4-hour long episode, first 45 minutes.
No wonder no one wants to turn it into telly. Have you ever accidentally eaten anything that's not food?
Not accidentally.
Yeah, on purpose.
Well, oh God.
Yes, here we go.
So firstly, Tom Oldfield and I, when we were children, a friend of mine from childhood, we used to regularly just try dog food, see what it was like.
Wow, that's so brave! But you're such a brave food person.
No, I think we're just stupid.
I'm having my bit of crust first as a starter.
Because his dog used to look really happy eating food. Hal, the golden retriever.
Yeah.
So it can't be that bad. And it was minging. So we try every new brand that came in.
Oh, God!
Also, dog biscuits. A lot of dog stuff, you know.
Yeah. Dogs do eat in a way that makes me feel better about how I eat. When they like really like mouth fuck the bowl, dogs have to get bowls that have got spikes in, don't they, to slow them down, and I do wonder about that for me sometimes.
There is a comedian whose name cannot be on this.
Okay.
But I'll tell you, you got to edit it out or afterwards.
Yes.
Who is a renowned terrible eater.
Okay, and, dear. Is it me?
No. And you know Danny McLaughlin?
Yes.
He described watching this particular comic eating a spaghetti carbonara as like watching a dog with a toffee. Every time I see them, I think of that.
Oh, God.
Say scrumdiddlyumptious.
No!
And then you can be in my podcast.
Scrumdiddlyumptious.
Now that we've got cats here to feed, and now their food. I remember from my pets as kids, it was fucking rank. You're younger than me, but dog and cat food when I was a kid was, it had like it smelled, it's grim. Whereas now they make it way more palatable, like it smells of steak and gravy, basically.
I've never had a pet bigger than like a guinea pig or a hamster.
Right.
And like, when I see dog and cat food in the supermarket, I think, this animal has got a wider range of food than I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Duck and salmon parfait.
Yeah.
It's a wolf, back off.
Yeah, it sounds quite like fusty old restaurant menu, doesn't it? All of it.
Comfy of do one.
Are there any, I feel like, I don't know, are there any foods that you don't like? Or especially, is there anything that you hate that everybody else loves, or anything that you love that everybody else hates?
I don't like lamb. I find it too strong a taste, but I love a doner kebab.
Okay.
But I can't,
because it's just been masked by just sheer processing.
Yeah, pretty much. I can't be doing with lamb. It's too much effort for lamb. It's too strong a flavour, and it's so much. And it, like, when you're cooking it, it's like a 30-second window in which it's good.
I understand. What needs to be boiling hot.
Yeah, I don't eat offal very much, but I had a liver and onion once that was great. I eat anything really if it's nice. I've never understood the when people say, "Oh, what are you eating hot dogs for?" It's just lips and arseholes. You go, "Yeah, great. Nothing's gone to waste. Pop it in a tube. It's delicious. Who knew an arsehole tasted this good?"
I know. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Anything in terms of if you're going to eat meat, then pardon.
Anything you don't eat?
I can't imagine eating. Oh, I don't know. I think so, because I eat meat so rarely. I'm right old. Fuss bag about it now, but not in the way of like it, more inclined these days I'd be more likely to go, yes, I will try something's fucking hot because of exactly what you said, then, but I don't know that I would love it. But maybe sometimes it's done really well. I don't know.
When I left university, I worked in an office for a year, proper like toxic knobhead. They all thought they were in Glengarry Glen Ross.
Oh god,
but they weren't. I hated it so much. If anyone's listening from Blair Endersby, you are scum. In my training for that company, I got told, actually day one, it's best not to think of our customers as people, more of them as numbers.
What?
Yeah, real bad.
Whoa, actually said that?
Real bad.
Oh my days.
But we used to go to one of those, you know, those Brazilian restaurants where it's green side means give me more meat and
red.
And we used to do chicken hearts.
Oh wow.
And it was like a macho thing to eat a chicken heart. But they just tasted like garlic and chili.
Pate.
I'm not desperate for another one. We'll order a bag of them.
Please, haven't been hankering for a chicken's heart ever since. It's such a grim. But we're just culturally trained into being like bleh, at the thought of that. I think there's loads of other places where people are like, bring it on. It's full of good shit, isn't it? As well, that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. It keeps you alive. It's got to be good.
We've got a new question. Worst looking but best tasting thing you've
pork
ever
scratching.
Had. There we go.
Pork scratching.
Ever had one with a bit of hair still on it?
Yes, the majority. They're delicious.
Mm-hmm.
I like them all. I don't like the ones though where there needs to be a crunch to it.
Yeah.
When you get all that soft, almost marshmallow.
Soapy. It tastes soapy sometimes, that like soft fat bit.
That's not grim. That's not for me, but they are
so
tasty.
Grim. Yeah. First time I ever tried this burrata, it changed my life.
It's so tasty.
I think I previously thought that mozzarella was basically like a bit of a nothing cheese. It's just a sort of, just a texture really, which it so is when you put it. Just normal.
It's so creamy though.
Mm.
I love cream. I was listening to the episode of this very podcast with Izzy Sooty.
Yeah.
Talking about the breakfast restaurant she went to.
Oh,
and she had porridge made with cream.
Oh yeah, and it was a bit much.
Stop listening. Rang my girlfriend and said, we've got to find this place.
Yes, really?
Oh my god, I love cream so much.
Really?
Whenever I have cake, I always say, can I have too much cream? And I mean, like, it needs to be diabetic inducing.
Yeah. Glistening. Swimming.
Mm.
I have to be in the mood, actually. But I do like creamy things. If I don't have something that's been deep fried for a long time, that makes me feel gross when I do have it again, which makes me sad really, but I can always train myself back in.
Do you know, I'm not mad on deep fried.
No.
My nan used to make her own chips and I'd fry them.
Mm.
And they'd be like an aura of fat before your mouth got down to the sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not, not for me. Not for me, thank you.
An aura. That was such a brilliant and quick answer. Have you ever been scared of any foods? Well, it sounds like actually a nana's chips.
Also, I'll tell you what I was really scared of. And my mum will listen to this. And I need you to know, Mum, you are a wonderful cook now.
So many people have done that on this podcast, gone like, Mum, you're a great cook.
like whispered.
She's really not. Was she not great a long time ago?
The thing is, she worked very hard.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd just make like a vat of like, you know, bolognese sauce. Yeah. It'd be that with this pasta every night for tea. And then occasionally a risotto. And I hate risotto. It's disgusting. It looks like mucus. It tastes like mucus.
There we go.
And it's the leftover bit of chicken. Like, and I've had one in my life that was fine. But that's not what I want for the high water margin to be fine.
If I'd have known this, I'd have made you a risotto.
I wouldn't have eaten it. I'd have thrown it at you and left.
First person you've seen in a year.
Hi, Jess. Fuck you.
Fuck that. Risotto. Fuck you.
But she used to make chicken curry. Okay. We're talking like early 90s chicken curry.
Okay.
When, and it was.
The jar.
No, God, I wish. I wish it was a Passax.
That's so rude. I wish it was a Passax.
I wish she'd gone out, she'd got a shower, she'd whacked it on with a slice of white bread and gone and spat in it, it'd be nicer.
Amazing.
It'd be the leftover chicken from the roast, which was dark meat, and you're a kid, you don't like dark meat. Behave. Breast is best. For babies, in the past perhaps, I'm not sure what the difference is now, but when it comes to chicken and the child, me. So it'd be that, a tin of coconut milk.
Right.
A tin of pineapple chunks.
Oh no, fuck off.
A couple of bits of, like tablespoons of curry powder, and then an onion,
oh, God.
Like done, sliced, but so it was long tendrils
of onion. Oh, great spindly, long, wispy old, like something you'd see in the sea, in a documentary about the sea, and be like, I don't know what that is, and I don't care.
Yeah.
Oh, it's probably alive, it's going to sting me.
It's 98% water, and it fucking hates you, that kind of thing in the sea. And she'd cook that until it was, I mean, edible's a stretch, but then... put it on a plate, put it on your plate, and you'd sit, and she'd be tired, she was working hard, and you'd go, Mum, I don't want this, it's foul.
Would she eat it?
She'd have to eat it, she'd made her bed.
Have you got siblings?
Got a sister.
Yeah, would she eat it?
She would, but again, it's that or nothing. She's a vegetarian now, so.
That's probably why.
Almost definitely.
Yeah. A lot of people have turned vegetarian because of the environment or because they care about the death of an animal, but not your sister.
I've got to say, I've not been snide to my mum here. I love her very dearly. She's a wonderful cook. Some stuff she makes now, my God.
It's one of the most not... you have not been unkind about your mum's cooking. You've described a dish which I'm sure your mum... I don't know your mum, but I'm sure she wouldn't pretend now was her finest hour.
No, looking back, mistakes were made. Janet.
Oh, Janet!
But my mum now, give her a Thai curry, she'll even bother with the paste. She'll buy the stuff. She'll make the paste. It's delicious.
I think Thai curry's really hard to get right. So hats off, Janet, to modern Janet. Because
hats off, modern Janet. Janet.
I am...
90s Janet, you're an embarrassment.
90s Janet. Well, he's a bit harsh, I'd say. You're an embarrassment. I find that it's really hard to cook the coconut milk and the paste at the pace where you get it, so it's like in a restaurant.
Yeah.
I feel like it either splits or it just tastes of nothing.
When you get just oil
or it's
on
too spicy. Yeah, like, and I don't really, and people have tried to tell me what I'm doing wrong there, and I've not taken it in, which makes me worry I don't care.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
What did I'm
so busy.
I made a hollandaise the other day.
Oh, wow.
Thank you.
How did that go?
Banging.
Were you making like a croque monsieur or something?
I was making eggs benedict.
Oh, lovely.
I bought some nice ham, some nice muffins.
Lovely.
I'm very good at a poached egg. Made
lovely.
This hollandaise.
Oh, okay. We'll have to do poached egg theories and methods.
But this recipe was like, right, cook your butter and then get like a slotted spoon and get rid of all the white on top. And I thought, BA, I'm not doing that. Who's got time to skim butter?
Oh, no. You needed to do that, didn't
nope,
you?
Delicious. It was perfectly fine. I've got a picture of it. Actually, do you know what? It wasn't perfectly fine. It was perfectly delicious. And I'm sorry
for that. You're going to have to show me it. And the listeners are going to have to listen to me react and trust me.
Is that it? No? That's not enough. Look, are those poached eggs though?
Oh, lovely. Talk me through your poached egg methodology.
It's very simple, actually. There's no trick to it. You get a frying pan.
Yeah. Oh.
You fill it with water to just... There's my hollandaise.
Oh, wow, great colour on it.
Yeah.
What's in a hollandaise then? Is it eggs?
Egg yolks.
Right. Did you use really nice, like, Burford Browns or something?
I did use exactly Burford Browns.
Such a lovely, bright orange and yellow and that.
White wine vinegar, butter, a bit of water. Sort of did it on a...
God, it's basically a hot vinegar. This is a hot mayonnaise.
Yeah, pretty much. It was delicious.
Oh.
But poached eggs. Forget every lie you've been told.
Yes.
You don't need swirling. You
no,
don't
I
need
agree.
Vinegar. You
I
don't
agree.
Need any of that nonsense.
I agree.
Get a frying pan.
Yeah.
Fill it with water. quarter to just above the knuckle.
Oh, okay.
Where that thing goes in.
Oh, I see. Yes, I see.
Bring it to the boil.
A couple of inches, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Down to a simmer. Then crack your egg in near the edge of the frying
Ooh.
Pan. You can get four or five in the small frying pan. Then leave it for 5 minutes and then come back and eat it. And it's delicious every time.
Oh, my days.
Unmessable.
So I've got a slightly more laborious but not entirely dissimilar version. Like, I also shun vinegar and swirling. I also get a normal pan from boiling to simmering. But then this is the bit that is long and annoying, but quite fun. I have to get a ladle, and then to crack the egg, I have to balance the ladle handle with my teeth. And then I crack just hold the ladle like, because I need both hands. Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm. Lovely demo. You've got the bum of a fork in the mouth.
It's a shame
you know what I mean.
Audio.
So absolutely no one's seeing that, but I'll just let you know. I don't know what he's doing with his hands. It's quite sort of,
I've got an egg.
Huge. He's got a couple of eggs. He's got an egg.
I've got an egg.
Then he's cracked the egg into the ladle, and then you're allowed to use your hand again on the handle of the ladle. And then you need that water to be like active, but not tumultuous.
Sure.
It can be like excited, but it's not like PMT, and then just sort of tip it in, and then I crank the old heat back up. Once all the eggs are in, I find that each egg that enters, the water gets less and less powerful heat wise.
Sure, the heat's being used.
Yes, and so I wang it back
Sorry.
Up.
Sorry, yes.
Yes, I wang it back up, but I don't wait about 5 minutes, I go in quite much sooner than that. Good. That was good talking, wasn't it?
You're going quite much sooner.
I actually go in quite much sooner than that.
Yes. Yeah. She says, knife and fork for a pizza. Do you know, normally going quite much sooner and everything's great.
Going quite much sooner and I've got a really lovely dip for you.
The only issue with my method is you don't get a complete cut. It looks like a fried egg. So you have albumen on the bottom and then you go on top.
Yeah.
It's all the consistency of a poached egg. You don't get that nice... Do you only get it when it's like a scotch egg of poached egg?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You don't get that
with
my method.
Yes, and maybe you get more of that with my method, but it's hit my... if you're doing four, one of them will be a little bit spindly-sided. But I don't mind eating those. If I give myself that one, I don't mind.
An egg is an egg, isn't it?
An egg is an egg.
An egg is an earth.
Delicious.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
I was about to ask you something I've already asked.
Do it again, see if I answer the same, see if I'm a liar.
Have you ever had any food you've ever been scared of?
Yeah, risotto. Have I ever mentioned? My mum did this chicken curry, my God.
Growing up, were you as unfussy as you are now?
No.
Well, how were you a bit fussier? It sounds like it if you would only eat the white bit of chicken.
Yeah,
like, anyone that grew up on a farm wouldn't be like that.
I didn't grow up on a farm.
I know you didn't. That's what I'm saying. It's like, there's a sort of city boy element of fussiness. Or girl element. And I'm sure I was the same. I don't know if I was, actually. I fucking eat everything.
I didn't like fat or gristle.
Uh-huh, fine.
But who does?
Like, some grandparents.
Yeah. Do you know, for years, do you ever talk dripping on toast?
I went to, the first time I ever went to a snazzy restaurant, it was called Story, and it's Tom Story's restaurant on Tower Bridge, and it's extraordinary, and you get like a 10-course menu, and it tells you a story, and there's all the books everywhere. And the first course, it looked like a candle, and it was made of beef dripping, and you had like bread with it to like mop it up, and they had made a candle, and they lit it, and it all melted away. I'd never tasted anything like it in my life, so no, it's not something I'd encountered other than that one time in my life, in such a posh context, which is so ironic, because it's...
Delicious, though. Yeah. It's very much a scummy food.
Well, no, but it's like, it was, it wasn't what people ate because they were affluent ever, no. Historically. It's a bit like polenta. It's like so funny that like wanky chefs have...
Quinoa.
That's like the staple diet of Africa and South America, of people who are on the bread line.
The quinoa.
You'd probably call it the quinoa line.
Big quinoa.
Yeah.
Whatever that's in... Monsanto, I imagine.
Yeah.
They are... It's the most evil food stuff in the world. Avocados and quinoa.
Avocados. Haven't they, like, the drained the Peruvian border of all liquid in the ground?
Cartels own avocados now.
Oh, my God. Cartels own avocados.
Literal cartels.
It's going to be a narcos about avocados. Paper chase are going to feel bad about the bloody narcos.
Have a banana.
They've got avocados on earrings in stationery shops now. Yeah, what's done it.
This will be... People will look back in the history and say... In the history? In the future.
Yeah.
But the quinoa farmers in Peru can no longer afford their own grain.
Fuck off.
Yeah, so...
It's miserable, isn't it?
Enjoy your salad, you fucking bastards. Eat some of this before I eat it all.
In Bolivia as well, I think that's happened too. Yeah, sorry, I was topping up a drink. You too.
Oh, Florentine. Yeah, Bolivia, what do they eat there?
I think quinoa's been fucked there as well, because it was their staple grain.
It just... This is the problem, this one I'm talking about, the...
But it's... There's so many layers there's so many, like, if you're trying to work out where the problem lies, but it's fashion, I think, because apparently, I've said it before on this podcast, but apparently in the 70s when olive oil first started getting trendy to have here, so, you know, you start growing loads more olives, and actually olive trees drain the ground of water in an extraordinary way. And so there's massive, like, arid bits of Greece and Italy that there wouldn't have been otherwise had that not got really faddy. But everything sort of balances out. Olive time for Will.
Just eat an olive while you say that.
Yeah!
Part of the problem, part of the solution.
Well, no, I don't know that it is a problem anymore because everything sort of balances out. But it's the same thing. It's like you popularise... And then chefs have definitely got something to do with it now. We definitely, you know, Jamie Oliver's and people that famous definitely make things so popular that kale, you know, they start fads.
They definitely do. My friend Simon works in the food industry. He works for a company that I can't remember, like Bunzel Lockhart, I think they're called. Mm-hmm. But they do like high-end pans and...
Right.
He works in their social media team. He was saying that it's really hard to get people to go into catering at the minute because of long hours. Yeah. Not great wages till you get up high. The obvious ones, but they literally call it the Gordon Ramsay effect.
Really?
Because people think...
They're going to have someone like that come around shouting at them. That's really aggressive. Well, it definitely, yeah.
Even though he isn't like that in his own kitchens.
No, I'm sure he's lovely. It's all a TV persona bullshit.
But it's, they could call it the Ramsay effect.
Crumbs! Like people used to say, the Al Murray effect in comedy. If you had a type of comedy that was potentially attracting an audience that didn't realise that it was satire.
I do think, it's something they say.
Yeah.
I wonder, has he ever spoken about it?
He has, and also he's changed his act quite a lot because of it, I think.
That's good.
Yeah, and then does like history documentaries and calls people out on Twitter and stuff.
Good for him.
I mean, it's happened forever. Alf Garnett was a character that was basically an old racist that loads of people just thought was... just a funny, great guy.
Jim Davison's head of a labour union. You know? Didn't burn a man in Star Rock against racism, yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Lee Hurst loves Europe.
Yeah.
I'd love to be an edgy comedian, you know.
Do you?
Yeah.
You're quite edgy.
No, I'm not. But, like, I'd love to come out...
You tweeted about eating rich people.
But that's not edgy.
You're a man on the edge.
I'm a champagne socialist. I've got a burrata in front of me.
Yeah, and we can't talk edgy when we're eating a burrata. And some sourdough pizza.
The thing about the working classes.
What a pair of cunts. God, time's passed. What's the swankiest thing you've ever eaten then, talking about being swanky cunts?
Ooh, that's a good question. You see that famous dead air that I tried to avoid earlier?
No, it's no rush or stress.
The swankiest thing I've ever eaten.
So yummy, yours. I love how salty it is.
Yes, great, isn't it? I'll tell you, it's... I've never been to like a tasting menu-esque restaurant, though I'd love to.
Aha. Uh-huh. Well, let's do that, shall we?
Yeah, look great. Like the Clove Club, that kind of thing. I'd definitely like
it. I go very rarely, but it's exactly where I want my money to go.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing. Mm. So probably the fanciest restaurant I've ever eaten in. There's two. There's one called the Olive Branch in Stamford.
Mm. Wow.
It's like a steak chop house kind
in
of
America?
Thing.
In America?
No, so
oh, Stamford here. Right.
Lincolnshire?
Mm-hmm. Cool.
Stamfordshire? Anyway.
Stamford United?
Cambridgeshire? On the A1.
Mm-hmm. Got it. You know, the road covered in sex shops.
Yeah. And I had this smoked chicken pate.
Oh, wow.
That was the tastiest thing I've ever had in my life.
And it's awful.
Yeah. It's awfully good.
Oh, God, get out.
Awful and awful rhyme. And that joke came, yeah, has birthed from that.
We've got about 20 minutes until my son's here, Will, so we can save all that shit.
Okay, fine.
For the 5-year-old.
Also, I had these gamberoni alla diavola, 4 big prawns chili, weakened, willing Italian gravy thing, but they just had permeated through, so probably that.
Yes, yes, yes.
Also,
yes.
And I'm really sorry, I know it's bad, I think that veal is delicious.
I haven't had it since I was a kid. I have had an Austrian grandparent, and we would have schnitzel, which traditionally is made with veal, although I do... So I wonder whether, as a child, on holidays to Austria, I'd have had veal. But I'm pretty sure when my nana was making it here, she was making it with pork.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like you could just pop down Asda and get some veal.
There's a butcher near where I live that does like all meats, whole rabbits.
Amazing.
But he does, and it is rose veal, mm-hmm, so it's the least cruel, and I know it's cruel, but...
I can't remember if it isn't UK veal all right or something, because we've got completely different meat.
Yeah, it's not all right, but it's the most all right.
Fine.
But my own personal ethics, I think if I'm willing to eat X, Y, and Z, I'm also willing to...
Yeah.
I know it's bad.
Well, so I can imagine you being willing to kill it, though.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm always killing stuff. I kicked a fox to death on the way in. Just saw it in the park off the train. You said, come 10 minutes later. I thought, right.
This is just to offset all ethically, all the vegans I've ever interviewed.
Saw a fox smashed his head in.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Right to him, not me. That's all I can say.
Raw. Just there.
That
wasn't latte in that cup I turned up with. It was entrails.
Oh, my.
Vulpine entrails.
William.
Anyway. That with like a sage gravy and parma ham and little sauteed potatoes and wilted spinach. So tasty.
Wow, okay. Oh, I feel sort of excited and terrified by that. I can't work out if I'm jealous or not.
I think
I can kind of work out in the ways in which it would be tasty. But I don't know. I don't bloody know.
Also,
come on, someone work out how to synthetically make that.
I guarantee you there were no cartels involved in big veal.
No, there's no big
so
veal.
Take your avocado and shove it at your ethics.
Love an avocado, but because of all that, I've banned myself from buying them. I'll eat them when they turn up in my veg box because it means they've been rejected by a supermarket or whatever if they're in there. But yeah, I can't bring myself to. But not never. They're so delicious.
They are delicious, though, aren't they?
I wanted, before we run out of time, I want to ask, because I feel like you've got sort of a joyfully grotty realism when it comes to ideas of body positivity whenever I've spoken to you about stuff.
God, what have I said?
So, I don't know, like, just honest things, I think. But, like, would you say you've always had an easy relationship with eating, or has it ever been complicated? Have you ever found yourself in a less than positive place with eating?
100%.
Okay. Tell me about your complicatedness.
So, I've got an absolutely... I'm a big fan of body positivity, of course.
Yeah.
I think you haven't, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
But I do think it can go both ways. Mm. Like, you can look at yourself and not be happy with it, and you're like, this isn't the fault of society. I don't like how I look because of what I've done to myself.
Yeah, that's true. You can know what you've done.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I know what you mean.
I know
what you mean.
I can and have eaten junk for a week and then got out of the shower and been like, That's wobblier than I like it to be. That's greasier than I like it to be. Why is this so blotchy?
What's that in my beard?
And and why is that a lot more pallid than I thought it'd be in my teenage years?
Pallid. See, I knew you'd have some good chat on this. Pallid.
And I can look myself and go, right, I don't like what I've done here.
Yeah.
But also, I did eat 12 nuggets three times in the last week.
Yeah.
So, but it's like everything in your life. There's ease and comfort.
Yes.
So I got home tonight. I can either make a tray of beige stuff.
Yeah.
And love it for half an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
Then do a really painful poop about an hour later.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to do that.
No. God, and actually, that's quite a nice sort of instant feedback. You've almost gone for the stand-up comedy response proximity of food choices.
How was your dinner, Will? I got heckled by my bowel.
20 minutes later, and there was a walkout. Big run out. It ran out.
A mass run out.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, I think it's... Gosh, it's so good when people are honest about it being complicated. But also, I think maybe I shouldn't have framed it in terms of body positivity. I just think it's all good and well knowing to be chilled out about things, but actually, especially throughout the pandemic, because everyone's had all this horrible time for introspection whilst also being forced into being somewhat less active. I mean, we've worked our socks off, but you're just not travelling like we were, and the adrenaline's not there.
No.
And that's massive, actually.
It's huge.
And so then instead you're like, I don't know, how do you address the balance? I definitely take so much joy from eating. So for the whole of lockdown one was like, yeah, just, you know, do whatever will bring you joy. And then actually, as you realise this is going to go on and on and on, actually living like that, like sort of in a permanent state of eating or nibbling, I was like, well, then I'm not, that's going to stop bringing me joy. And I don't think there's anything like unbody positive about that either. It's like, no, I don't need, you don't actually, I'm just sort of instinctively doing things without thinking about them eating wise. And so, yeah, just sort of try and bring it back to going, no, think about what you actually really fancy eating. Think about, do you feel full now? Think about if you've drunk enough water. Just that. That's the maximum amount of.
I had a really abusive relationship with. That's really.
It sounds like you're going to go so deep, but also I know you're going to say something really silly.
Maynard squishies. Yeah. Joe, you know, the drumstick sweets, like the vanilla and strawberry.
Maynard squishies. Yep, yep.
Yeah, I can post like awful. I was going through
abusive.
A couple of. It was abusive because.
You know, why was it?
Because you have one or two and you go, they are tasty.
Yeah.
And then
suddenly
the bag's empty and you've got a real sore tummy, but you're gonna have another bag, aren't you? Of course you are.
Yeah.
Because they're demanding it from the cupboard.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to ban them from the house.
Hangover, what are you having?
In an ideal world, I've got drunk on a curry the night before and I've ordered the hangover breakfast curry. It's been in the fridge just waiting for me.
Oh, he knows how to work this life. But it's just waiting in there, the curry. You're not having the curry cold, are you? Or
I am having the curry cold.
I'm having the curry cold. My sister caught me doing it once at our mum's house, my half-sister, Hattie. And she retched watching me eat cold curry in the morning by myself out of the fridge standing up.
Delicious.
Really is actually delicious. My missus thinks I'm a pervert for eating curry cold.
No, it's banging. It's
loads
banging.
Of people know that pizza's nice cold. They need to open their bloody minds.
Yeah, so if I've done that, if I've been a clever boy.
Yeah. Clever boy. Good boy.
Clever boy. Ordering of curry for breakfast. God, the world's going to hell in a handbasket, isn't it? If I've not been clever, if I've got sausages in, it's a sausage sandwich.
Nice.
I've got nothing in, it's a McDonald's breakfast.
Oh, what are you having there? It's been so long, Will.
Double it's... sausage, egg, yes! McMuffin.
Yes!
Three hash browns.
Oh, no. Okay, now we got spicy.
Orange juice, make a coffee at home.
William, absolutely fucking brilliant answer. That's my dream breakfast.
No pissing about me.
That's my absolute... What? I need to make an arrangement with myself to just have that breakfast because it's been so long. It makes me think of when I was going on a long drive with my dad... We'd stop, we had to drive a long way to get to McDonald's growing up in the countryside, and we'd stop at a drive-through one, which was also like, am I in an American film? In the 90s. And he'd get a bacon and egg McMuffin, and I'd get a sausage and egg McMuffin, and then we'd get a bonus third one. We'd only get one hash brown, but we'd either get, and then we'd get a bonus hash brown and a bonus third McMuffin, and we'd fight over whether it's going to be bacon or whatever it was, and then we'd go halvesies. on the
real nice
on the real side nice. On the side extras, and God, but he was always full actually after one, and I wasn't as a small child.
Yum in my tum.
All forward movement becomes illegal, and somehow you get like electrocuted if you even try it, which is hilarious at first. Don't know if you've ever watched a lorry try and side roll. Very good watching. Anyway, it quickly becomes obvious that the world's grinding down to a death point of a halt. Planes can't go backwards, sex is impossible, and drinking is so messy. They agree to allow forward movement again, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, Will, carefully and gently juggle four cats for 20 hours. Mm-hmm. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero. You go down in history as the man who saved us all from backwards and sideways movement only. But your reward in the moment, and bearing in mind you couldn't be hungrier and you couldn't be happier, you're absolutely off your tits on adulation and praise. Your work is done, effort-wise, for life. You couldn't be more cheerful. It's the opposite of a last meal, and you're absolutely starving. What would you have as a fantasy feast of your dreams? To eat, to drink, and if there's a who, with, and where, thank you.
Right, first of all, you're welcome. I'm allergic to cats, so that juggling was even more of a sacrifice than you all realised.
I didn't know that. Your hands would be sort of dangling off, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Just be like just the bones left.
Dangling, full of dander. But I've gone to the restaurant, I've washed my hands. To start, we are having sort of a mishmash. I want a prawn cocktail in the middle of the plate.
Yeah.
I want it to be with lots of paprika and lemon juice.
Mm.
Then, you imagine that's a clock face. To the 9 to 12, I want smoked salmon.
Oh, yeah.
12 to 3, I want scallops resting on little tiny bits of Irish black pudding with an orange glaze over the top.
Motherfucker.
3 to 6, I want langoustines.
Langoustines. God.
And then in the fourth quadrant, I think I'll just have a couple of Thai fish cakes in that nice, that clear sauce they do.
Oh, yeah, that's got like a tiny, tiny items of carrot in it.
Don't know what
sometimes.
It is. Love it.
It's so nice, isn't it? It's sort of like, it's sophisticated sweet chilli sauce, isn't it?
Yeah,
sort
it really is.
What's it called when they make a translucent concentrate of something? They often do it on MasterChef with tomato. Consommé. Maybe it's like sweet chilli consommé.
Yes, I love that.
Yes.
Then I'll clear that away and I'll think about how great I am, and you'll bring me my main course, and that is an absolutely brilliant doner kebab.
Oh, yes!
It's being served in the... Yeah. So everything's on the bread.
Yeah.
So the bread's going to be soggy at the end.
Yes.
I can tear this off. It's that Lebanese pita bread they do. That's sort of halfway between a bao and bread.
Yeah.
I want doner meat. I want too much doner meat. I don't want anything at the end left over. I want it all gone.
Do you want the big juicy middle bit, or do you want the crusty, the charred stuff from
I'd
around
like
the
a
edge?
Mix.
Mixture.
Like
okay, lovely. In. Nice mixture.
I'd like it served with lettuce, loads of red cabbage, cucumber, a few bits of onion, peppered through, garlic mayo, and very spicy chilli sauce.
Yes, yeah. And any of those sort of long pickled chilies?
About four.
Four, lovely. The really long spindlers.
The really long spindlers that you bite into them.
Yeah, real juicy burst.
An ejaculation of
borderline
acidic
pain.
Bang in there.
Ejaculation of acidic bang.
What kind of a wordsmith, really?
Yeah.
For dessert, I'd like a chocolate torte.
Okay.
But I want it to be, the ganache has to be so dense.
Right.
That when you put your fork in, you can see the grooves of where the fork went in. There has to be a base, otherwise it's just a block of ganache, which doesn't count.
Yeah.
But I want it to be thin.
Okay,
and
lovely.
Crispy biscuit, no sponge.
Ooh. Gingery or just buttery?
Just buttery.
Okay.
I like the base. I like the buttery base.
Okay.
3 millimetres max. I want that served with... You can have a little bit of raspberry on there for one of your five a day.
Oh, lovely.
But then it needs to just...
Fresh raspberry?
Yeah, about four. Yeah.
Okay.
Then, too much cream.
I was hoping for the cream content.
Three blobs of clotted cream.
Beautiful.
And then I'd like it to be in a bowl... And sort of the slice of cake is forming a dam.
Oh.
Single one side, double the other.
Oh, God, yes.
Thank you very much.
What an extraordinary answer.
Like that served with a magnum of a really thick red Rhine wine. Almost syrupy wine.
Okay.
And I'd like to eat it overlooking the sea on a blue day by myself. Thank you very much.
We might have really similar mouths. What a fucking fit answer.
Can I have a cheese course at the end?
Yeah.
Blue cheese, pate, red onion chutney, and then like a cambazola as well.
Oh God, yeah. Okay. Just gonna sit with that for a minute. What a lovely thought. Even those birds are singing with joy at the thought of that feast. An incredible, this is what I think up there my top answers ever given to the question, William. Thank you very much, Will Duggan, for doing this podcast.
And thank you, Jess, you've been an absolute delight to see.
What a silly, funny man. And what an answer to that last question. Even listening back in the edit to that for a second time, it made my mouth cry and my heart squeak. Lovely stuff. Seek out his work, please. On Twitter, he's at Will Duggan. And on Instagram, he is Will_Doug with one G. And his podcast is called The Treasures Pod. And it's on Twitter as at Treasures Pod. All of those links, by the way, including links to everything interesting that we mentioned, there was a lot in this podcast, are, as ever, in the podcast notes available, hopefully, wherever you got this podcast from. Feel free to support the podcast by telling other people about it. Give it a 5-star review, why not? Or just give us some cold hard money. I say us, it's me. You can do a one-off payment at Acast Supporter, or you can become a patron and I'll send you sneaky messages all the time and give you things like guest recipes and episodes and content that's just for you. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod to find out more about that. I've got rescheduled tour dates in the diary now. You can follow me at Jessica Foster Q on the social media, or just go to my website, jessicafosterq.com, where all my live work is listed. And that's also where you can find a little tab to email me if you've got something longer than a tweet that you'd like to tell me, or more secret. Huge thanks to Acast for hosting the podcast. Hoovering is produced by Emma Corsham, and the music is by Mike Greenway. Until next week, happy hoovering.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.